If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to pick up, you know, with the same direction as last week. And I've entitled it Paul's Principles on Giving. Paul's Principles on Giving. If you want to offend someone quickly, here's what you do. Give them financial advice. It's true. More than not, that they will get offended and the conversation will not end well. One of the most sensitive topics ever is the topic of money, to the point that there's a proverb, and I didn't know this, and it said, never lend money to a friend. I don't know if you ever heard that or not, but I've never heard it, but I've learned it. When I was a little kid, I'd give my best friend $1 and he'd never pay you back, and it used to make me mad. I mean, mad. I'm out snack money, you know what I'm saying? Although it's not followed many times, the exchange of money is a sensitive issue and sometimes turn friends into enemies. Well, this is the same in the church as well. John MacArthur says there are a few topics in a church more sensitive than that of money. Any mention of giving, contribution, fundraising, campaign is sure to be seen by some as inappropriate, intrusive, and even offensive. Another writer wrote this, even in the Christian community, money is a touchy subject. Most pastors hate to talk about the responsibility of members support the church. And I would agree with that. Not something I enjoy, which is, I don't know why, because not for me personally, it's for the church. Okay, but they worry over how the church members will react. And I've felt the same thing, even building this sermon. And the worries are almost right. People react negatively. You know what happened? I know this church personally, it's a good giving church. You know, very generous, so, you know, I almost get afraid to preach because I don't want you thinking that I think you're doing a bad job. But the thing is basically for me, is what we're going to look at. The Word of God addresses it verse by verse, so that's why we're looking at it. But it is true, but it's true. It is a sensitive topic, yet that did not keep Paul from addressing money and responsibility that church has concerning giving. And today I want you to also think it's not just giving to the church, but you personally as a Christian being a giving person 24/7, okay? So I want you to remember that. Let's not compartmentalize this today just to the church, okay? And on Sunday. Obviously that applies to that, but it also goes much further than that. Here's the thing. Some might think it would be wise to avoid the issue altogether. This is not the right solution. I'm obviously reading what someone wrote. Every church and each believer must understand the divine will with regard to money. Even by believers and the church. Giving in particular is a significant element in God's design for the Christian life. Giving advances His kingdom. It glorifies His name. It meets the needs of others. It lays up treasures in heaven. And I'll say it later, but what benefit does storing up money, how does it help anybody? If you have $1 million you store it up, and I'm not saying we're not supposed to invest, I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be wise, but think about it, if you just have $1 million you store it up, what good does that do anybody? Anyway, so think about that. But we need to build treasure in heaven. It brings God's blessing in this life and the next. It must be a regular feature of worship as the church comes together on the Lord's Day. Giving is vital to your spiritual life. I'll be honest with you. I can't prove this, but I guarantee you, you take people who don't give as a Christian, I would go to say they probably are not that spiritual. And they probably are unfaithful. They're probably not walking with God. Not like they should. Because giving is a vital part of your spiritual life. Therefore, because of that, no matter the the attitude people have, what's happening in America and in church is that because people get offended, we've got, well, we don't address things. Well, we better not talk about that. But you need to, because not for me or for the church or for God, but because your spiritual life, you need to be a giving person. And it's, what I'm going to preach on ain't really convicting me to be a giving person just in general. I was taught from 5 years old to tithe to the church. I've had no problem giving to the church. You know, what, you know, kind of what you're supposed to, a set amount, I guess you could say. My dad started giving me a half dollar, remember the half dollar, 50 cent pieces, and I would give them. I mean, I would probably, if I got out of church tomorrow, I would probably still tithe until the day I died. It's just ingrained in me. But I will say, being a giving person in general, I know I fell at that. I fell at that. I said it last week. I mean, so that's the thing. So just because you are faithful to give each Sunday, and I'm very thankful for that. There's more to it than that. We need to be giving people in every aspect of our life and with money in different places. And so that's the thing. So we need to have a better understanding of giving. So here's the context. We're talking last week. Paul saw that the church at Jerusalem was in rock bottom poverty, and he wanted to take a collection for a variety of churches to help relieve them. Paul encouraged the church of Corinth to give and share the example of the Macedonians' generosity, which we talked about last week. So the need of the saint at Jerusalem is the reason for the topic. As Paul divulges on the topic of giving, he reveals some fundamental principles on giving which will help us excel at giving. Which leads me to my first point. We should strive to excel. Alright, so basically what we're going to do today, and I forgot what it's called in the book, but we're going to go from the broad, and we're going to kind of come down to specifically the giving. Because that statement, not anything to do with giving right now. So I want to build this foundation that as Christians, we are to strive to excel. And you say, what do you mean? Well, letter A here, we are to excel in general. We say, what do you mean? Well, look with me in verse 7. Therefore, I alluded to this last week, but we really didn't study it out, okay? So we're going to go back to verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith, by one, the word abound means to excel. If you look it up in the Greek definition, it'll say excel, and if you read the ESV, it'll add you the word excel. So you can even say, therefore, as you excel in everything in faith, utterance, and knowledge, and all diligence. So let's stop right there. Right there, he says nothing about money. He says nothing about giving. He says, by the way, he said, you are excelling in these things. You're excelling in love. You're excelling in diligence. And he goes on. So basically what I see here is that Paul already has an idea that we get a glimpse of the fact that we are to excel as Christian in every aspect, not just giving. And like I say, you interpret the Bible in light of the Bible. So let's go to a few other verses. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, that's the word excel, in the work of the Lord. Right there, Paul just making a general statement that as believers, we are to strive to excel. We're not to strive just to get by. We're not to strive just to go to heaven. We are to strive to be as much like Christ as we possibly can in everything. Another verse, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, and as you receive of us how you ought to walk and to please God. so ye would abound more and more. This first thing has nothing to do with money. Paul wants us, or God wants us, to excel in general. You say, why? Because when we strive to excel, we guard against becoming ineffective. You say, what do you mean? Let me read a verse. 2 Peter 1, 8. For these things being you, and abound. So I said, excel, that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Peter's saying here, that you need to strive to excel when you don't become ineffective. And by the way, God cannot stand Christians who are ineffective. I'll read a verse. It might blow your mind. I don't know. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. I know thy works, neither are they cold nor hot. I would that you rather be cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, you can think what you want to, but I've always heard, God, whether you be on fire for God or not saved. Really? That don't make any sense. You rather even go to hell than go to heaven? So what does this verse mean? Well, if you look at the context, you got the Church of Laodicea right here. You got Ephesus on this side. And then you got Colossae on this side. Now, I don't remember when, but one was known for hot water, hot springs. The other one was known for cold spring water. They had aqueducts. They would duck in the cold water into Laodicea. Then they would pipe in the hot water to Laodicea. And so by the time it got to Laodicea, it was neither hot nor cold. And guess what? No one wants lukewarm water. People love hot water, and people love cold water. But most people in America, just because they with me, don't really want room temperature water. I don't want that. So hot water is very effective. Cold water is very effective. But, and just generally speaking, lukewarm water is not very effective. And what Jesus is saying there, and I want you to be effective. I want you to do something with your life. And if you don't do anything with your life as a Christian, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I detest that. Okay, and I've got a whole sermon on that. So that, I'm just going to give you just a little snapshot of that. But that's what he's saying there. He's not saying, I'd rather you be unsaved. That does not go with Scripture. Didn't Jesus say, I left the 99 to find the one? He's not saying I'd rather be unsaved than lukewarm. What he's saying is, I want you to be effective for God. And see, here's the thing. Striving to excel keeps us from becoming ineffective. This apathy, it guards against apathy. It guards against becoming basically unprofitable. We should strive to excel as Christians in every aspect of our life. We should strive to be an A-plus Christian. And I know that we're okay with being C-minus students. I'm just saying it. I can get on my hobby horse about what I'm aggravated about. And I'm not going to do it. I just know better. But what are we striving to be as a Christian? We won't let anything keep us from walking with God. We won't let anything keep us from church. We won't let anything. Well, no. We should strive to be an A-plus Christian. Just like when you're a kid. When you're a C-plus or C student, what do? You make excuses. Same thing as a Christian. If you're a C Christian, you know what you're making excuses. I should witness that person. Well, I don't have time. This or that. You are a C-minus Christian. And God said, and this verse teaches us with other verses, that we should strive to excel as a Christian in every aspect of our life. And I'm being honest with you. I'm getting my belly full of just these apathetic, lukewarm Christians. Because there's nothing I can do with that. I mean, I can't help a lukewarm Christian because you've got to be striving to excel. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be striving to excel. So, in our text, I'll go away because I'm going to get mad about something. In our text, and I may address it, I think he addressed it in the right way, in the right spirit. In our text, we see that we should strive to excel in general, but also in giving. Okay, so now let's look here at verse 7 again. And let's look at the last part. See that you abound, you can put the word excel, in this grace also. Okay, now, what did that grace also mean? Well, if you came last week, you all didn't kind of know. But obviously, in a context, in verses 1 through 5, Paul explained that the giving of the Macedonians, Paul revealed that they gave voluntarily, sacrificially, and eagerly. He revealed that the source of their giving was God's grace. That's what verse 1 said. It said, we do you with, and that means to know, of the grace of God bestowed upon him. Paul accredited their giving to the grace that God has bestowed upon him. And last week we learned that you give not out of your situation, but out of your relationship with God. Okay, so if you were here last week, we're just building upon that, which is why it's so important to be here. Because you're going to learn the Word of God. So see here, so what he's doing, when he goes to verse 7, when he says this word, let the same grace also excel, what he's saying was, I want you to excel in the grace that the Macedonians did. And what did the Macedonians do? They gave. They gave actually sacrificially. So he's saying, what I want, and I want you to excel at giving. That way, we need to apply. That's what we need to be characterized as Christian. And we need to be characterized by excelling at giving. It needs to be a way of life. Now, I'm not saying that you give to the point that you burden yourself. We'll look at that later, okay? We'll get to that, okay? So stay with me. Don't say, well, am I supposed to give everything away I got? No. We'll address that here in just a minute, okay? But I want to make the point that we are to give. It should be a way of life. And it's something that has convicted me a lot. I'll be honest with you. I'm what you call a tightwad, okay? I'm a tightwad myself. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I can buy something for myself and still be upset about it. I don't enjoy, I mean, that's just how I am. I really have tried to grow. Like Dave Ramsey said, money's just a tool. It's a tool that's supposed to be used in the right way. I'm not generous with myself. And so I'm definitely not generous with you, you know, by nature. So something's very convenient, but then again, I've struggled spiritually, and I wonder sometimes, is it because I'm not a giving person? And if giving is vital, so, you know, just think about that. What he's saying here, and he's saying that giving should be a way of life. And in the content, giving money. Now, obviously, remember this, there's only one interpretation. The interpretation is that Paul's saying you need to excel at giving money. But there's many applications to the Word of God. And what that means is that we can apply this principle to everything. Time, talent, et cetera, whatever. So we see the interpretation, we need to excel at giving money, but we can apply this as well, that we also need to be giving with our time, with our talents, with our energy, and all them things. That's what we see. We are to excel in general, but also in giving. We need to strive to excel as a believer. So number one, we need to strive to excel. Number two, we must give to excel at giving. Now, that's real profound right there, ain't it? We need to give to excel at giving. You know what I mean? Man, that's just great. That's the best thing you've ever come up with. Stay with me. What are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is to excel as a Christian, it takes more than just sitting around declaring what needs to be done, but rolling up your sleeve and getting to work. It's like this, we'll sit down like, well, yep, I need to give. I need a witness. I need to do this and that as a believer. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Amen. See the problem? Now, let's do this. Them dishes need to be washed. I hate washing dishes. I hate it. So I was telling my wife, and she does a good job. She washes dishes. I hate doing it. I'm not about not going to do it, but I do sometimes. Yeah, and them dishes need to be washed. And she can say, yeah, and then you do. Yeah. Yeah. But if one of us don't get up and roll our sleeves up and wash them, then it's no good. It's great to sit there and say, yeah, we need to be generous. We need to give. We need to give money. We need to give time. We need to give our talent. But if we don't roll our sleeves up and actually do it, then we're not ever going to excel. And I can back this up. Let me show you. First of all, James 1:22 says this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving your own self. Because here's the thing, what happened, you say, that was a great sermon. You say, that's great. Yeah, amen. That really blessed me. That really spoke to me. But if you don't go out and change, then you're just deceiving yourself. You think, man, I'm a great Christian, but you're not because you're not doing it. And that's with any aspect of your Christian walk. Man, that's great. But if you don't do it, then it have no value. I can say all day, man, I need to wash the dishes. Man, I'm a good dishwasher. Yada, yada, yada. But if I don't go there and do it, it's of no value. I'll never excel. Same thing true in your Christian life. And you can apply it in more areas than just giving, but the context dictates what we talk about. And so we must excel. We must give to excel at giving. You may have a desire to excel. You may have heard the word of God. You may have been convicted. But it has to be carried on to action. Performance. We have to perform. Paul encouraged the Corinthians to excel in giving. That's what he does. We see this. First of all, giving is seen in the example. Look at verse 9. And I'll explain to you why he's doing this here in just a minute. But let me just, I'm not going in the order of the text. Verse 9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was rich, yet for yourselves he became poor, and that ye, though through his poverty, might be rich. And then you see the verse 10, and hereby I give my advice. So we'll kind of connect the dot here in just a minute. But let's just go in the order, okay? So what right here, we see the example. Here's the goal. At this point, Paul is trying to get them to give. Okay? And so he uses a supreme argument for Christian liberality. To be generous. And he knows that by using the best example. The example of Christ. He wants the Corinthians to see that they need to give, so he uses Christ. So here's the thing. Christ is rich. Okay? Now, he's not talking. Often Christ is materially rich. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking here his supernatural glory, his position as the Son of God. Okay, because by the way, him giving up his money did not save us. Him humbling himself and God, he still was God, but he did humble himself in his position. And that's what he became poor. The Lord truly was impoverished because of the fact that he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being in a likeness of man. Now, I know that we all think we're pretty great, but compared to God, we're just cockroaches. We're worse than a cockroach. I mean, it'd be like us saying, no, I'm going to become a cockroach. We wouldn't want to do that. That's not even a good comparison of what Jesus did for us when he became man. He became man. Being a man was very humbling. It was a very giving of himself. And what happened? And said that we might become rich. That we might have eternal life. See, two things we see in the example of Jesus. He excelled at giving. He gave the ultimate gift. But what did he do? He performed. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be careful because we're talking about God here. But Jesus didn't sit in heaven and say, yo, somebody needs to die for them. Yeah. No, Jesus said, okay, I'll go. I'll go. I'll become a man. I'll empty myself. I'll give myself to them. See, my point here is that we have to give to excel at giving. And that's exactly what Jesus did. That's what Paul's trying to get them to see. Is that to excel at giving, you must go into action. We see the need to give an example, but we see it more clearly in the explanation. In the explanation, continue, look at verse 10. So we're kind of tied together. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Okay, so what's going on here? I'll tell you. Okay, verse 10 says that like a year ago, which we don't actually know if it was actually a year, but at some point, they had a desire to give. They had that desire, and they were sitting on that, they were sitting on the couch saying, yeah, I'd like to wash the dishes. They had that desire and said, yeah, I want to give. I want to help the saint at Jerusalem. Yeah, amen, amen. That's where they were at. But what happened is that from 1 Corinthians to now, they got upset with Paul, remember, of what we're talking about. They had a rift with Paul, and their rift, and really, actually, their spiritual decline from God, they're not walking with God, being led away by a false teacher, caused them to not be spiritual. And because they were not spiritual, they did not have the desire, or they did not carry the desire to actually giving. Okay? That's the problem. The problem is they had a desire to at one time to give like many of us do, but then they didn't do anything. See, look at verse 10. It says here, we have begun, verse 11, excuse me. Now therefore perform the doing of it. The word perform there means to finish. It means to complete. Okay? I actually want to think this thing, perform, yeah. So what he's saying here is the matter of completion and what you have committed yourself to do. They had an eagerness. They had an eagerness at one point to give, but it must be matched by the completion of their intentions. In other words, Paul's saying this. He's saying desire isn't enough. Good intentions is not enough. That's what it is. Good intention. Good intentions alone won't help you excel. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, you have good intention of giving to this offering. But Paul's saying, my advice to you is do it. Give. Once again, we must give to excel at giving. The principle here can apply to a lot of things. And if you want to excel, you have to have more than good intention. And I'm preaching to myself as much as I am you. Most of you, I guess, I don't know all of you, but I would say you probably have good intentions of going to church, getting committed, serving, giving, talk to your neighbor, being more loving. I would think that most of you today probably have a strong desire to be like Christ. I think you might say, I don't do that, but I do have a desire. You have good intention. Well, what I'm saying is that good intentions alone is not going to help you excel. You have to do it. You have to put it into action. This morning, for you to excel in giving or any other aspect of your Christian life, you have to perform. We don't want to say that, though, because we don't want anybody to think that salvation is a work-based salvation, but that's not what I'm talking about. And in Christian, we ought to work. When a little soul work till Jesus comes, I think we've forgotten that in the church. You're supposed to excel. And you're supposed to excel, and the way to excel is to roll your sleeves up and get to work. To do what, it's great you come down here, and God convicts you about something, but if you get up and you do nothing, then this will have no value. This will have no value. We ought to strive to excel at giving. To excel at giving, we ought to give. And thirdly, we must follow the principles of giving to excel at giving. We must follow the principles. Yeah, I made sure I said it right there. We must follow the principle of giving to excel at giving. Now, this is where I said, we kind of started off broad. Talking about just excelling. And now we're kind of funneling it to the actual aspect of giving. This last point is about giving. Nothing else. Let's look here at verse 11 and 12. Now therefore perform the doing of it. And as there was a readiness, to the will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if that be first a willing mind, it accept it according to that a man has, and not according to what he has not. For I mean not that other men be in and in burden, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their wants, and their abundance may also may be supply for your wants, and there'll be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that gathers little hath no lack. Now, them verses kind of confuse me a little bit, but I'm going to try to explain to you. I'm going to break it down two ways. There's two principles that you see here. The first one is a principle of amount, okay? A principle of amount, okay? How much should I give? That is the question. All right, well, here's the answer. It says here, let me make sure what verse it is now. Let's see. Must be verse 12. For if there be a willing mind and according accepted that a man had and not according to what he had, okay? Let me read in the New King James. So there also be a completion out of what you have. He's saying to complete the desire to give out of what you have. So here it is. He wanted to print with according to what you have. According to what you can. I mean, John McArthur said, though Paul expected the Corinthians to give generously, and he did not expect them to give beyond their means. So, I mean, even this now, God definitely accepts sacrificial giving. He'll accept it. Don't get me wrong. We saw that earlier, right before. But what is expected, what's expected, and for you to give according to what you have. Okay, now he'll accept anything. Like, you know, obviously, if you say, I want to give, I want to be like the widow's mite, I want to give all that I have. Yeah, God will accept that, and he'll honor that. Don't get me wrong. But God, I mean, Paul here is saying, what I need a man, the principle you need to follow is to give according to what you have. So to excel at giving, you have to follow the principle of giving what you can. And I'll just be honest with you. For the average person, this will usually lead to giving more, not less. Now, you may be different, but I'm going to be honest. I'm not guilty of giving too much. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not guilty of that. I'm guilty of a lot of things. But I'm usually not guilty of giving too much. Once again. So that's the thing. We ought to give according to what we have. And I'm not going to get into all the tithe and all that. I think I even alluded last week that if you look at the Old Testament, you add up all the different offerings. I think I remember it added up to like 23%. So the idea that, you know, I give my 10% and no more, that's really not Old Testament or New Testament principles, you know? Anyway, but I'm not getting into all that. But that thing, should be saying, I'm going to give according to what I have, what I can. And that's the thing, that's for you and God to decide. That's for you and your conscience. But by no means does it mean that I'm supposed to give everything I have and be, you know, Mother Teresa. No, that's not what he's saying. Give according to what you have. So we see the amount principle. Now let's look at the attitude principle. The principle of attitude. Why you give is as important as, and more important really, than how much you give. Think about the Pharisee or the publican. And gave all his money, and then a little woman came up and gave what she had, like 2 mites. And God said she gave more, she gave out of abundance, she gave out of what she had. So now, here's the attitude. Now, I wish I could have done it real neat, but just listen to me. Here's the attitude. I am giving where I can share what I have with those who don't have, because it's not fair for me to have extra when my brother is in need. Okay? Now, once again, I'm not saying you got to have an equal amount. I'm saying it's not fair. I'm going to build this case. But Paul was telling us that if there's somebody here that's hungry, a brother who's hungry, and you got a pantry full of food, it's not fair for you to have a pantry full of food and for them to go hungry. So back to the attitude that I'm going to give what I can share what I have with those who don't have, because it's not fair for me to have, and actually it's not biblical, for me to have extra when my brother is in need. Now, I'm not saying you got to give. If there's somebody over here who they're full, I'm not saying that because they're not eating steak, you have to give them steak. I'm not saying that. about in imminent need, by when the context dictates, the church of Jerusalem was in need. They were suffering. Okay, so I want you to understand that. So we see the principle stated by Paul. Look at verse 12. It says here, in according that the man not have, no, hold on. Yes. Verse 13. For I mean not that other men be eased and envy burdened. So first thing, what he's not saying. He is not saying that he's trying to make the rich poor and the poor rich. Okay, he's not trying to do communism or socialism. It's not what he's trying to do. He even said that, I'm not trying to take somebody who's rich and make them poor and make the poor person rich. That's not what he's saying. He said, I'm not saying that. That's what he's saying. So he's not. So, I mean, by the way, he is not, the Bible does not endorse socialism. Okay? I'm going to say in my note, this was done individually and voluntarily, not collectively and forced to. Okay? This is what, they didn't vote on this. This was not, socialism is not biblical. Okay? This was done voluntarily. Each person can do this. Anyway, so let's get back. So, what he's saying in verse 13, and by the way, why he said that was the church in Jerusalem was predominantly Jewish. Okay? Paul's view, the church in Corinth was Gentile. So some people might have thought that he just wanted to help the Jews because he was Jewish. And Paul said, no, I'm not telling you to give to make them rich and you poor. That's not what he's saying. I mean, you know, so what he's saying here is that he wants equality. He wants balance. What it says in verse 13 or verse 14. I put the wrong reference. It's 13 and 14, not 12 and 13. But by the equality that now at this time, your abundance. They had abundance. He's not saying, he's saying you obviously have abundance. What Paul's wanting is he's wanting to balance things. A lot of people really said this. Paul sees a critical need of the poor believers in Jerusalem as grossly out of balance with the abundance of what other believers have, and he wants to correct that. Based on what Paul's saying here, it's not fair for one to have abundance and the other to be starving to death. That's what he's saying. And that's not right. It's wrong for you to have a pantry full of food or a pot full of money and someone be a need. I'm not a need, not a want, a need. And it doesn't use the word want, but it doesn't mean want. It means need. And then what Paul says, and vice versa. Think about the Christian church work that way with each other. How much better off we would be. That's what he's saying, but boy, we grabbing up and we might give a little here and there. But we're really supposed to help each other. And then folks turn around and help us, which is why that's kind of what my health insurance is. And even his motto is bear one of the burdens. I pay so much a month, and that money goes to pay for other people's bills. And when I have surgery, I mail in my bill. And because they give, basically they send their money to me. That's basically how it works. And it worked pretty good. Because I got reimbursed I got reimbursed over $20,000. Why? Because we share one of them burdens. And it worked pretty good. We ought to do that without a program. Which, all this in line with Scripture. 1 John 3:17 says this. But whosoever has the world's goods and sees his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So, like that. If you're somebody in need and you don't help them, John said, how did that person even possess the love of God in them? And the world we live in now is like Christians can't do anything. Christians can't sacrifice nothing. I don't know what's going to happen if we get shot if we come to church. I guess we're not going to come. And so I put the gun to say, if they pass a law saying if you go to church, you're going to get shot or beat. I don't know who's going to show up, to be honest with you. But like that, Paul said, if you can't even help your brother in need, do you even have the love of God in you? 1 Timothy 6:17-18, charge them that are rich in the world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, whom giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute willing to communicate. So it's your ideal. Now, what means, well, I'm not rich. Well, you may be richer than somebody. And you may have the money to help somebody. What we're supposed to do. I wonder how many people might come to know Jesus if we give more of that. Now, I'm not saying give to people down here in the street. I'm not saying that. There's no accountability there. There's no accountability there. Accountability. What, I mean, what have you went to? You know what? I'm going to buy that. I know you need something. I'm going to buy it for you. I need. Galatians 6 says, bear ye one another burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. The attitude we should have in giving, and I want to give, where I can share my abundance with Pete, my brother in need. That's the attitude of why we should give. That's why. Now, by the way, I've already said, but I'm going to say again, the key detail is individual and voluntary. It is not the same as top of socialism, okay? I'm going to read where you know this. I'm going to read a quote. There's no reason to think that Paul is speaking of what we call communal living or economical communism. As we have seen throughout this entire section, the giving was voluntarily. That is what it is. If Congress passed something, or the Senate passed something where I have to live in socialism, I didn't volunteer for that. Nor did I vote for that. There's a difference. When one woman is in need and another has more than he needs, then he needs a sharing on the part of the latter produces an appropriate balance. It is all Paul speaks. That's all he speaks. He's not speaking. Paul's not saying, I gotta give all my money to one person or everybody. No. No. So think if you do that, how are you gonna be able to help other people? I mean, if you have a lot of money, manage it. It's good. Use it for good. Don't just squat it all the way by giving it to one person. No. Help as many people as you can. It's what you can. But that doesn't mean that you're supposed to give above what you can. It's a balance. But we see here the principle stated. Now look at it. Look at verse 15. So again, he said, as it is written, he that gathers much had nothing over, and he that gathers little had no lack. Now, what in the world is he talking about? Well, from what we can tell, he's talking about when they got manna, when God brought down bread from heaven. Manna is hard for me to say. Manna. And there's a little wafer that came from heaven. Woo! It was vanilla wafer, probably, I think. Don't you think? I think vanilla wafer came from heaven. They're good. So what they would do, if we don't know why, but some would gather more. And in some would gather little. There's some speculation, so stay with me. I'm 35. I don't know. CD probably could outwork me, but I probably could gather more faster than CD, Brother CD. I could probably gather more faster. If we had 10 minutes, I'd probably beat him. So what would happen, we would gather, say we were living together. Well, that'd be sad there. Oh, man. But say we were living together. And he gathered, this much, and I gathered this much. Well, what we would do, speculation, is that I would give him, because maybe he didn't gather enough for him. Well, I would give what I had to help him. I had enough, he had enough. And that's, or younger and older, that's speculations. Or maybe somebody couldn't go out at all. And so that's most likely what some gathered more, some gathered less, but all had enough. Apparently, they shared what they gathered with each person in the family or family with another family. To where each family or each person had enough. And that is what he is trying to say, is that each person can have enough. That's the attitude we should have, that we give out of the abundance where someone else can be taken care of. Not to live in luxury. Not necessarily, but to give to help them. That's all it is. It's really simple. And then one day when, maybe they're back on their feet and you have a hard time, because I've imagined every one of us had hard times before, and they turn around and help you. What a great idea. Because the love of God, and that's where I think I said right here, is that truthfully, we understand it with food, but we don't really see it with money. What good would it do if I had this whole room, this whole area with food, and Miss Tammy was starving to death? I'm like, and I didn't give, y'all say, shame on you. Same thing with money. Money's food. It turns into food if you go buy food with it. Now, what a shame if I'm sitting in, I got a warm fire, and I got a plate, and she's out in the cold. We don't help her. See, we see, but so same thing with money. Money, and once again, obviously we can go to other principles of stewardship and investments and being wise, you know, but that's not what we're talking about today. But what good is it to have all this money and then not share it with people who need it, not who want it? And by the way, all the help people in Jerusalem were doing all they could. Because I'm not saying give a handout to bums. Okay? I don't think that's not what God said. You need to work. Okay? So obviously a lot of principles. But what good is it doing? What good is it doing if I got extra money in my pocket and, you know, I'm funded and someone needs something? I'm well, okay, see you later. You know what I'm doing? You want to know really what I'm doing? I'm building treasures here and not in heaven. That's really what I'm doing. Say I got $100. Not that you can't never buy anything for yourself. If I got $800 and someone needs a tire fixed, you know, a couple of tires. Tires are high now. They're expensive. I remember when I bought 33, had a Ford, a 33s, 1250s, for like $100. You can't buy a tire that big for $100 now. So anyway, but you know, I have $100. Someone's got a flat tire. Maybe someone you do, you're in need. And I said, well, see you later. And I go and buy me something at the store. What I just do, I built treasures on this earth and not in heaven. It's just that's what I did. Just what I did. And then you wonder why we're so spiritually bankrupt. Because we don't have anything in the spiritual bank at all. Now, once again, on the balance, I'm not saying that you have to, you can't even buy yourself anything. And we're not going to make you broke. You know, we're not supposed to be poor, but it's the idea that we are to have the attitude, I'm going to share my extra with other people, but they can be helped as well. That's the attitude. That's the principle. And see, if we follow that principle, we will excel. We will skyrocket at giving with that kind of attitude. So to excel at giving, we need to follow the principle. Give according to what you have, in order to share your blessing with others who need it. In conclusion, we are to strive to excel. And in the context at giving, but we also need to strive to excel in all other aspects of Christian life. We need to strive to be an A+ Christian, not a C-. I don't know if there's such a thing as C-, depending on what grade scale I guess you use. We are to give to excel at giving. Get to work. And which I apply to everything else. If you want to excel at something in your Christian life, you gotta get to work. And we are to follow the principles to excel at giving. Let's stand on our feet with the heads bowed and the eyes closed. If you like me, it was very convicting. I was thinking about last night, and it's so true. I was thinking about last night, you know, helping people, and you know, it dawned on me, if I'm not willing to help somebody today, I won't help someone 10 years from now. You know. Actually, I think I saw something on ESPN about somebody getting like $20 million to play sports or something. And I thought, what would I do if I had just $1 million? And I thought I would pay off my debt. Because the only debt I have is the house, so really shouldn't have any other debt, really. And maybe medical debt. I would, you know, invest, and I was thinking I would help people. I'd give this up. And I thought, you know, no, I wouldn't. Cause I'm thinking about this sermon, actually, is what I'm thinking about. No, I wouldn't. Because I said this last week, if I'm not willing to give today what I have, I wouldn't give later. If I'm not willing to give $10, $100 today, or even $1,000, I wouldn't give $10,000 if I was a millionaire. No. Because giving is not born in your situation, it's born in your relationship with God. And that love of God constraining you. And I'll be honest, what I was thinking. I was thinking about last night. And that's the thing. So here's the thing. What we got to do, I've got to do, you've got to do, if we got to perform today, not 10 years from now, not when we retire, not when we get, you know, this or that out of our lives, but now. And it's true with your Bible reading, to witnessing, to everything. You got to do it today. You got to excel. You got to decide, I'm going to roll my sleeves up and do it today. So I don't know about you, but maybe God convicted you. And obviously, maybe it was in the area of giving. Maybe it was the attitude you have. Maybe it was the amount. I don't know. But God and the Holy Spirit spoke on the inside. If we look at the Word of God on the outside, if God spoke to you, as I pray, and even when you go home, hey, ask God to help you, and then get to work. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I want to ask you, Father, to be with us today, Lord. A very convicting message to me. And Lord, I think probably a lot of them will probably say the same thing. I know many of these people here today, their hearts are tender. Lord, they strive to be like you. They have good intentions, Lord, and they do get to work. I have even been, challenged, I guess, and they've taught me how to be more generous with even time and money and talent, Lord. Some of them people in here have been an example for me. But Lord, I know that with that being said, Lord, that we all probably need a reminder, Lord, and renew our minds, Father, in this area, Father. And I ask you to help us do that today. Lord, I ask you, Father, just to forgive us when we failed, Lord, because it's so easy to get off track. And Lord, I ask you today to do that and convict each one and help them. Lord, I do ask you, especially to be today with the Parker family. Lord, as we do bury Miss Lula today, Lord, I do ask you to comfort them, Father, and give them the grace that's sufficient for them, especially during the holidays. Lord, just comfort them. And Lord, thank you for all that you've done. In Christ's name, amen.